In middle of the shir, I mentioned a pshat from Ibyanis and Eibshitz, and I mentioned multiple times that a Kohen Gadol can be metame for his kraivim. That's not correct. It's the Kohen Hedjait. I apologize for the error. Welcome aboyim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Bishalach, L'zecher Nishmas Uli L'Nishmas, your dear parents, Rebecca, Bas Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel. May their neshama tohiras have a lichtige Gan Eden, and we should get chizuk and inspiration from the shir. And as we often mention, whether you're in the Heichol, sold out tonight, standing room only, or you're listening live, or you'll be from those who hear when the recording is sent out, please, I ask you, share the Divrei Torah with others, especially let them say it on Shabbos Kodesh to bring an added Kedusha to our Shabbos by sharing the Divrei Torah. The beginning of the Parsha, Parsha is Bishalach. As we begin another week of Parsha Insights, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Yudches, the second Pasuk of the Parsha, Vayasev Elikim Esa'om Derech HaMidbar Yamsu. A well-known concept that Hashem, the word Vayasev, means that he led us in a roundabout way, circuitous, if you will, by the way of the Midbar, and that's the way we ended up crossing the Yamsuf. The earlier pasuk, the first one, tells us that we did not go Derech Eretz Plishtim Ki Karoyhu, because that was a land that was near. So it's clear from the second pasuk as we begin the parsha is that we were led in a roundabout, circuitous way to cross the Yamsuf. There's a medrash that tells us multiple pshatim on these words, vayasev, or the word vayasev. The medrash tells us one pshat, the word vayasev is like from the word saviv. Saviv means to surround. And the Medrash tells us, not Vayasev as in a circuitous route, but rather Vayasev as in surrounding. Hashem surrounded us with Anane HaKavod, the famous clouds of glory that we were able to enjoy when we were our 40 years in the Midbar. The Eitz Yosef is the one who explains the surrounding when we left Egypt was a reference to the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory. What's interesting is that Medrash I quoted a moment ago then adds that from this word Vayasev, we also learn that at the Seder, Lel Seder, the night of Pesach, even a poor person should sit in a reclining position. Apparently what the Medrash means is because to recline is Heseba. Heseba, as I'm doing right now, is to recline. Heseba and the word Vayasev etymologically are the same three root letters, Yud, Samach, Vez. But one has to wonder, what in the world is the connection between an Ani, the night of the Seder leaning, and Hashem surrounding us with Anane HaKavod? Other than the fact that the letters of Heseba and Vayasev have the same Shorish root, but what in the world is the Shayachos between these two concepts? The Sefer Avnei Kodesh brings down from the Gehi Zion a very, very powerful concept that I think is a fabulous way to begin this year. How are we to understand the Anane HaKavod? I think we were always brought up, Anane HaKavod are the clouds of glory. They surrounded us. They protected us. And so he explains so beautifully the reason the Anane HaKavod have the name clouds of glory is because they brought us kavod, us glory, us honor, meaning we who were sheltered inside. How so? That's a very interesting pshat. How did it bring us kavod and glory? While it's true that these clouds gave us protection, but on a much deeper and more profound level, it showed Hashem's midas hachesed, not midas hadin. And it showed his deep love for us. How so? There were many miracles that we experienced in our sojourn in the Midbar. The Mun, the Be'er, the well. But as we perhaps mentioned a year ago, those miracles in the desert, we could almost say Hashem had to provide for us. Those were essentials. We could almost say that those were given to us based on Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin, Din, dictates you brought us into the Midbar. The essentials would be to take care of us. The man is to take care of us, and the well is to take care of us. You can't put us in the Midbar if we don't have what to eat and what to drink. So these miracles were necessary. Din dictated that there had to be the miracle of the man and there had to be the miracle of the air. But not so the clouds of glory. The Anane HaKavai didn't only protect us, it brought us, you know, it's easy for us to say here in South Florida when today, you know how many people up north are listening and will be listening when it was in the single digits. Montreal, I think there was snow yesterday, and today we had a day in the mid-80s. Might be Laig LaRush even to say that on the phone recording. But be it as it may, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us an Anani HaKavod literally with a very comfortable environment. You'd almost say an air-conditioned environment. To provide us with that type of living condition, that wasn't essential. That's what we would call the Tmim Mishur HaDin, above and beyond the call of duty. In other words, that it should safeguard us is one thing, but that it also provided us with this bonus, that was already Midas HaChesed. Chesed, Midas HaDin dictated you have to have the miracle of the well and the miracle of the man because you need to eat and drink, otherwise you can't survive. Those are necessities, but the Anani HaKavod were not necessities. Those, if you will, I would say a luxury, it was a bonus. In other words, it was something that showed the Midas HaChesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem going the Pnim Asher HaSadin above and beyond. That's why he says so powerfully, Anani HaKavod showed the glory that Hashem had for us, the covet Hashem had for us, the honor Hashem had for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much that no matter who we are, it doesn't make a difference our level of wealth or lack thereof. It doesn't make a difference our ranking, the one percentile or lack thereof. The Anani HaKavod showed us how much glory and pride HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in us. I hope everyone realizes how novel and profound that interpretation was, because I would almost dare say and go out on a limb that we probably never heard that extraordinary explanation of Anani HaKavod. I would assume everybody says Anani HaKavod, clouds of glory, the glory reference to Hashem. It's to honor the covenant and the glory that Hashem had for us, as indicated that he did this miracle, which was based on Midas HaChesed and not only Midas HaDin. For this wasn't the essential necessity, this was above and beyond. That also explains why there's no yomtiv per se that commemorates the miracle of the man. There's no yomtiv that commemorates the miracle of the be'er. But there is a yomtiv, and that sukkis that commemorates the Anani HaKavod. Because something that's a manifestation of Midas HaChesed, that's something that we commemorate. So although the man and the be'er have no yomtiv corresponding, Sukkot corresponds to the Anani HaKavod, because it's a new deher. It's the honor, covet, and glory that Hashem has for us. And now we could appreciate the connection to the night of the Seder. It's a night that we remind ourselves, no matter who we are or what level we're on, we do hesebo, we lean. That leaning shows that we are reclining like we would be a king. We're reclining as an act of royalty. In other words, it's a commemoration of really the Anani HaKavod in the sense that it reminds us and invokes within us the honor, the respect, the glory, the covet we must have for ourselves. Might I add, just to take this pshat one step further, you know, Chazal say, Mahu Afata, just as Hashem is compassionate, we must be compassionate. Just as Hashem is Rachum, we must be Rachum. Just as he is Chanun, we must be Chanun. Maybe the takeaway of this beautiful pshat that once again is found in your incredible Svarim Avnei Kodesh is the fact, just as Hashem reminds us we're royalty, and that the Anani HaKavod are to show us the covet, us the honor, us the respect, us the glory, maybe it's a reminder, Hashem treats us that way, then we have to treat each other that way. Mahu af ato, as he is chanun, we must be. As he is rachum, merciful and compassionate, we must be. Maybe the takeaway, you see over here, I underlined the vart, I highlighted it. Maybe the takeaway of the vart is that just as Ananei HaKavod shows the honor and glory and covet Hashem has for us, we have to have that for a fellow Yid. In fact, it brings to mind an extraordinary story I once mentioned. And it's interesting because the beauty of the story I'm about to tell you ties both Pshatim of Vayasev together. The opening Pshat is Vayasev, circuitous route. The second Pshat we just said was how to treat with honor and respect. If you remember a few years ago, I told you that when I was standing in Izmir, Turkey, by the Kever, by Reb Chaim Falaji, I said over a nifladik of mice, and I think this mice of mamish encapsulates what we've said till now so perfectly, because it ties together both definitions of the word vayasid, the circuitous route, with the honor you have to have one for the other. When Reb Chaim Falaji was appointed the Rav in Izmir, when he would walk multiple times a day from his home to his shul, he never walked the direct path, but like this week's parsha, he always took the circuitous route. And for the first number of years, no one asked him why. If the Rav is doing it, there must be a reason. But he always took the circuitous route and never the much more direct route, like really out of his way. After a number of years, someone built up the courage and asked the Rav, Rav, why when you go back and forth from the house to shul, do you always take the circuitous route? And he answered, when I walk to and from shul, I'm surrounded by a group of talmidim, mispalim, balabatim, and we talk back and forth in learning. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Along the regular route, the direct one from my house to the shul, is the home of the previous Rav, who since passed away, and that's how he now had the position. But who lives in that house? The almana. That was a sight that she always had. She always had her husband going to and from shul, surrounded by talmidim and mispalim. I don't want to pass her home and cause her added tsar. I don't want to pass her home and cause her additional pain and angst. This is a sight she was always so familiar with, and now she no longer has it. So he deliberately walked the circuitous route so as not to cause that added pain. I really feel that story encapsulates everything we said till now, because number one, it's the Vayasev. He took the circuitous route. And secondly, why did he take the circuitous route? Al-Tanani HaKavod. To show honor, glory, respect, and covet to the Almana. Reminds me of one other maisa before we take the shir to the next level. I know for those who are here throughout the whole year, it's a story we've said multiple times, but I just feel it's one of the most unbelievable stories. I heard this from the doctor in New Jersey who it happened with his mother. He told it to me. He had an elderly mother who had a heart condition. So Erev Pesach, she would call Reb Moshe Feinstein and ask if she could take the particular medicine for her heart, or was it chametz? The busiest man on the planet, on the busiest day of the year. And Reb Moshe would explain to her patiently why it wasn't an issue of chametz, why she could take the medicine, it's not a problem, and he then vinched her on a good yomtiv, and he wished her well. He told me his mother called Reb Moshe Erev Pesach with the same shaila for over 20 years. Now, I wonder if we would get the same shaila on the busiest day of the year after year 5, 6, or 7, what we would say to that person. Reb Moshe's patience was legend. And for over 20 years, Erev Pesach, he answered the woman with the same patience why she could take it. She didn't have to worry. It wasn't chametz and it was fine. He told me one year his mother was getting a bit forgetful and she forgot to call Reb Moshe Erev Pesach. A couple of hours before Yom Tov, her phone rang. She picked up and the voice on the other end said, "Which Erev Yom Tov, this is Moshe Feinstein calling. I didn't hear from you today. Are you okay?" And only after she reassured Rav Moshe that she was okay, did he remind her that it's fine, it's not an issue, and venture on a good yomtiv and give her all of the brachas. Now, I want to put that story in perspective, if I may. We already ascertained Rav Moshe, the busiest man in the world on the busiest day of the year. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would come home as a Rav, and my wife would say to me, Ephraim Eliyahu, so-and-so said you don't need to call them back. Like, you don't have to make a phone call. That's a simcha. That's exciting. It's like almost the way men feel, you know, when they come to shul, and finally you don't have to say tachnun because there's a bris. You know that simcha. I'm talking about tachnun Monday and Thursday. You know, that's how you feel when you don't, I don't have to make a phone. Rav Moshe had to go out of his way to make a phone call? Rav Moshe had to go out of his way to make a phone call? I didn't hear from you today. I was concerned. Is everything okay? That's the pshat in Anane HaKavod. To show honor and kavod and glory and respect to a person. And if that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam treats us, it behooves us, as incumbent upon us, to treat everyone that way as well. Rav Moshe can make the phone call, Erev Pesach, nu, what about us? This pshat speaks volumes about the Ribbono Shel Olam's relationship with us. I would now like to take it to the next level, this relationship, with a pshat from Rav Yenis and Eibshitz. Anytime you're going to hear a pshat from Rav Yenis and Eibshitz, you know that you're about to hear a bomb. This pshat is pile, 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 ployim. What's the connection? You're getting all this down? It takes notes in Hebrew. It's, I want you to know that I last few weeks I've been taking the notebook and reading notes in Hebrew. It could be turned into a sefer. In Hebrew, I read the notes every week. The synopsis and the summary, it can mamash be turned into a sefer. B'ni Hayakar. Amen. What's the connection between the last pasuk of Boi and the first pasuk of Bishalach? What's the last pasuk of Boi? Let's everybody turn one page back. With a very strong, not with a strong hand, Hashem removed us from Mitzrayim. Opening pasuk, Hashem removed us. Opening pasuk of this week's parasha, Vayhi Bishalach Paro Eslam, V'lenachu Rokim Derech Hazur, Ki Karayhu. Literally, the word kikaravhu is a reference to what? What did I say when we started this year? Kikaravhu means that the land was near. The land was near. I'm going to say those words one more time, kikaravhu. Rav Yenis and Eibshitz has the most magnificent pshat, and I want to quote to you. What is the connection between the last pasuk of Boi and the opening pasuk of Bishalach? Listen to what he says so beautifully. And by the way, before we even answer the smichus apsukim, the correlation between the two, I should say the juxtaposition between the two, he brings down a medrash that says on the words ki korevhu, which I thought meant that the land was near, zeshra amar akasa, that's what we mean when we say in the daily haluk and shachris, livnei Yisrael am kirevai. To his children of Israel, b'nei Yisrael am kirevai. It's the nation he loves. It's the nation he's korev with. He's intimate with us. Livnei Yisrael Am Kareva is talking about his relationship with us. Is that what the word means, Ki Karevhu? So he answers these two questions with another question. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to Avraham Avinu, we were going to be in Golos Mitzrayim 400 years, yet we were only there 210. Redushanim. Many answers are given. The Zayar famously says, since the Shechina, Kaviyochol, the Shechina, was with us in Golos, that was mashlim, that, what's a good English word for mashlim, completes the 400 years. We were there 210, but since the Shechina was there, qualitatively it makes it as if we were there 400. But that only creates another question. How could the Shechina have been in Golos Mitzrayim, such a land filled with Gilulim and Avodah Zarah, idol worshiping? We find that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't mispalel, even a small tefillah Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim was a land that was permeated and soaked with Avodah Zarah, with Gilulim. So Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't do that when he was in Mitzrayim. the Shekhinah for sure would not become contaminated in such a debased land that was involved with Avodah Zarah. So the well-known question is, how could you say that the Shekhinah was with us in Mitzrayim? How does the Shekhinah go to a place filled with Avodah Zarah like the land of Egypt? The answer must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam's relationship with us and ours with him is one of Kraven. What does Kraven mean? Kraven. There's the Zion Kraven, father, mother, right? Kraven means we're extremely close relatives. We know that the Kohen Gadol, although he has many restrictions, he's allowed to be metame himself. He's allowed to contaminate himself to who? His Kraven. His Kraven. When it comes to a Kariv, when it comes to someone that you love and that you're intimate with, your Kraven, like the Kohen Gadol, there the regular rules don't exist, and he's allowed to be metame himself to his Kraven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us, what did we just say from Hallel? Livnei Yisrael, Am Kiroivai. Livnei Yisrael, Am Kiroivai. Hashem's relationship with us is that he's our Kariv. We are his Kraven. That's what the Medrash means. Livnei Yisrael Am Kiroivai. Like a Kohen Gadol, his with the capital H, his relationship with us is one of Kraven. Our relationship with him is one of Kraven. So since it's one of Kraven, the Shekhinah was allowed to be in Mitzrayim, even though it's filled with Tumah Avodah Zarah. Just like a Kohen Gadol could make an exception to be Metameh for Kraven, the Shekhinah Kaviyachol could make an exception and be in Mitzrayim for Kraven. Now we could explain so beautifully. What was the last pasuk in Bai? What was the last pasuk in Bai? Ki bechayzek yod haitzianu Hashem mi Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out with a strong hand from Mitzrayim. You'll ask me, Akasha, how did Hashem go into Mitzrayim? How could Hashem have taken us out of Mitzrayim? It means he was in Mitzrayim. How kaviyachol could Hashem been in Mitzrayim? The pasuk answers. What does the opening pasuk say? Ki karev hu! Ki karev hu! Ki karev hu is not just going on the land and close proximity. Eretz Plishtim was close. Ki karev hu is going on our relationship with Hashem. What a pshat. You want after such a pshat to bench Yalav Yavai every Yom Tov would say, both Al Anisims and every Harachaman, I would not blame you. I would not blame you if that's the way you felt. How could Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim, and how could he be in Mitzrayim? Because ki karev hu! Our relationship with him is one of kraivim, like the Kohen Gadol, livnei Yisrael kraivim, and therefore, even though it's tamei and it's a land that's filled with avodah zarah, kaviyachol the Shekhinah could be there, just like the Kohen Gadol makes an exception for kraivim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu does as well, and therefore Hashem Himself took us out biyad chazaka ki kraivhu. I think that pshat to Rabbi Yonah at Eibshitz is a fabulous addendum to what we opened up with. Hashem has such a covet, a glory, a respect, and an honor for us. And I said we must extrapolate from that vart how we have to treat others, like the story with Reb Chaim Falaji taking the circuitous route, and like the story with Reb Moshe Feinstein on Erev Pesach. Why is the relationship so deep? Ki karev hu. Ki karev hu. Ki karev hu. And for kraivim, you do whatever you can. For kroivim, for family, livnei yisro am kiroivai. Hashem for us, and by extension, us for every other yid. The takeaway is, ki kiroivu. And I want to now begin ending the shir, taking this concept even one step further. And I do have to offer a slight apology to those who were in shul this past Shabbos. I realize some of you were here, although most of you actually looking around weren't here. I apologize because I did speak part of this out in the drusha Shabbos morning. And it was a very, very powerful concept. One of my sons came over and he said, Tati, it felt like Yom Kippur. But I feel that it's the appropriate way to end the shir that spoke about our relationship with Hashem and his with us, that of Kiroivim. And as I said, for those who already heard it, I hope you appreciate the Chazar. For those who didn't, I hope you find it impactful. I referenced the fact that after a year and a half ago, Simchas Torah of October 7th, many people were quoting the well-known pshat from the Goyin HaGaonim Ariel Diskin, Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, Zeche Tzadik V'Kolish Levrach, on the posuk of Yishmael. Yishmael is described as Pera Adam, a wild man. And Rabbi Yeshua Leib Ariel Diskin says that in Lashon HaKodesh, the etzem, the noun, is always first. The adjective is after. Bayis Gadol, Ish Chacham, Ish Toiv, Ish Navain. The etzem, the noun, the mahus, is first. The adjective, in English, it's the opposite. Big house, good person. But in Lashon HaKodesh, the noun, the etzem, goes first. So if it's describing Yishmael as a wild man, then in Lashon HaKodesh it should say Adam Pere. Says Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, perhaps the reason that the word Pere, wild, is in the slot of the noun is because that is the mahus of Yishmael. Wild, barbaric, inhumane, that's not merely an adjective. It's in the slot of the etzem, the noun, the atzmius, the mahus, because that is exactly their essence of who they are. And I mentioned that after the Simchas Torah massacre by Hamas. Hamas descending from Yishmael. We now understand what Rabbi Yeshua Leib said when he said, Pere is not merely an adjective, it is who they are. It's their noun and their essence, inhumane and barbaric. This past Shabbos in the Drush, I commented that perhaps that Pera, that inhumanity, was taken to even a new level. One cannot say what is more of a massacre, more of a tragedy. I can only quote what some of the recently released hostages, the young women, our sisters, what they said, their own words. Many of us may have seen the videos, and I'm referring primarily to two. There was one when a few of the young women were released together. I believe it was three, and more recently last week when one was released by herself. That last half hour, how does one describe that last half hour when they were taken through a near mob and lynching of thousands of Hamas? The look in the eyes of our sisters, the hostages, Am Kiroivoy, as they were led onto a stage to humiliate them, to instill in them such a trepidation, making them wear an outfit like the Hamas army outfit, as if they had, and they had around their neck, what looked to be like a medal, as if they were being given an award. Everyone left with that goodie bag. Each had to hold an award properly and smile. They, by their own admission, said, what Hamas did to us in the 470-plus days was take pere, 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 pere adam. Barbaric, inhumane, beyond description. But that last half hour, they said, we didn't know we'd make it through that last half hour. By their own admission, they said that as much of it was pere during the 470-plus days, Rachmana Litzlan, whatever took place, however they were treated, but that last half hour, how a person could make it through that last half hour, that mob, that lynching, that humiliation, that intimidation, the fear and the pachad, the heart should give out. To have to walk onto that stage like it would be a ceremony, wearing their clothing with an award around their neck and a goodie bag and holding an award. It was meant to break us and to humiliate us. The jeering of those thousands, That's a new darga, pere adam. And they, by their own admission, said, the hostages, I'm crazy, our sister said, how we made it through the 470 days, but to make it through that last half hour, we didn't think that was the hardest half hour. We didn't think we'd make it through that half hour. I want to contrast them, the pere adam, with us. In Parshas Shemais, as I said on Shabbos, when the daughters of Yisrael told their father why they were there and how they were saved, they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu, an Egyptian man saved us. And we're familiar with many Pshatrim, Chaim Shmulevitz, who was a reference to the Egyptian man that was killed, etc. But the Pasha Pshat is, who did they mean when they said Ish Mitzri? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Pasha Pshat. Why did they refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as Ish Mitzri? In the simplest level, because he was wearing Egyptian clothing. It was the Egyptian royal aristocracy. He was wearing that clothing, so they referred to him as an Ish Mitzri. The Medrash brings this down, but one has to wonder, the Medrash asks, why they have to describe him as Ish Mitzri? Just say Mitzri Hitzilanu. An Egyptian saved us. Why Ish Mitzri? As they fret the Medrash. Based on the pshat I just told you from Ariel Diskin and that last half hour, I think maybe we could say, because maybe the pasuk wants to teach us who we are. No matter who we are, and no matter what we go through, we will forever remain Ish. Ish, 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 Ish. The proper behavior, the midas, the menschlichkeit, turning to Hashem, even when they thought that it was a Mitzri. The pasuk goes out of its way to say, Ish Mitzri, Ish Mitzri, Ish Mitzri. Contrast that with Pere Adam. They, their noun, their essence, their mahus, as seen since Simchas Torah and before, and certainly with the last half hour, through and through is Pere. But we are his Am Karevoi. We are Ish Mitzri. No matter what happens to us, no matter what trial, tribulations, no matter what it might be that we go through, our noun, our essence, our mahus, through and through remains Ish, 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 Ish. And that is who we are. We are the Am Karevoi, who always remain the Ish. I just want to end with a thought and a bracha. My son-in-law in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Blinder, shared with me this concept that many of the hostages said that last half hour was the most difficult of all. We didn't think we would make it through that half hour. My dear son-in-law shared with me, maybe on a greater level, all of Klal Yisrael, the last number of years, have been going through that last half hour. Klal Yisrael for thousands of years went through the Tach V'Tach, the expulsions, the inquisitions, the world wars, the Holocaust, decades and decades of anti-Semitism and being tormented. Maybe what we've been experiencing since Simchas Torah October 7th has been the last half hour. And sometimes the last half hour seems to be the most difficult of all. Sometimes the last half hour seems to be the most overwhelming of all. And sometimes a person may wonder, how do we make it through this last half hour? And I believe the answer is tonight's shir. We remember Livnei Yisrael Am Kirevei. We remember Ki Korevu. We remember the Anane HaKavod, the feelings that he, with the capital H, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has for us. So my son-in-law so powerfully suggested, perhaps the last year and a half plus has been one long half hour. It's the last half hour. And sometimes it's the most difficult, the most humiliating, the most overwhelming, seems the most insurmountable, and we wonder, are we going to make it through the last half hour? Be'ezras Hashem, we will. Ve'ezras Hashem b'siyata d'shmaya, and turning to Hashem, we will remember. Ki korei hu, our relationship with him is one of kreivim. Livnei Yisrael am kereivai. And with that thought and that prayer for ourselves and Am Yisrael, we should be zeichet to make it through this, that which seems to be the last half hour. We should be zeichet, just as the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end of Parshas Bo'i, Chitzionu Hashem mi-Mitzrayim. Why? Ki koreihu, may we be zeichet that Hashem once again will gather us in, there will be kibbutz goliyos. This last half hour will turn into the most beautiful hour of all. Tehei hashah hazoi shasracham en beisratzom lefanecha. It will be the hour where be'ezras Hashem, Hashem will gather us in. Am kiroivai ki koroivu, and bring us to rejoice once again b'chutzos Yerushalayim.